Richard Russo has just completed his second novel set in Mohawk, a fictional small town in upstate New York. New York Times book critic Michiko Kakutani praised the novel for its attention to the rhythms of small-town life. In this new book, The Risk Pool, Russo writes, "Most everybody in Mohawk lived pretty near the edge of unemployment, of lunacy, of bankruptcy, of potentially hazardous ignorance, of despair, and hence the local custom was that you only worried about people nearest the brink. Otherwise, you'd worry yourself over the edge with so many candidates for concern around." The Risk Pool is a coming-of-age story about Ned, a boy born to a broken family in Mohawk. Raised by his mother, Ned is later introduced to the world of male pastimes by his father, who spends most of his time in pool halls and bars. Winters in Mohawk extend long into what is officially designated as spring and fall. Ned's grandfather cynically renamed the four seasons.
4th of July, Mohawk Fair, eat the bird, and winter. I was an adult before I realized how cynical my grandfather's observation was. His summer reduced to a single day. Autumn to a third-rate mix of carnival rides, evil-smelling animals, mud, and manure. Thanksgiving reduced to an obligatory carnivorous act, a fowl consumption, he termed it. The rest, winter, capitalized.
Did someone you know coin those expressions, or did you come up with them yourself?
Well, no, I steal most everything. my own grandfather used to have an expression. Let me see if I can get it right now, because I've changed this and I know it my own way now, and I'm not sure I can quote him chapter and verse. But he used to say it was Fourth of July, Fond of Fair, and Winter. I needed four seasons for this book, so I added something that I think he would have approved of. Eat the bird, he liked that, too.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in upstate New York, as you might imagine, in a small town called Gloversville that was famous for all sorts of leather goods, particularly gloves.
I guess that's no surprise.
No.
When did you realize that you had stories to tell that related to the town that you grew up in?
Well, fairly late. I tried to write for a good long time before it occurred to me that I might write about that area of the world that I knew best. I don't know why. I mean, it's the first advice everybody always gives to writers, is to write about the sorts of people and the sorts of places that you feel at home. But I had already become a traveler. I'd gone to school in Arizona and had lived there for about 10 years. And I tried to set my stories in all sorts of places before it dawned on me, really, that upstate New York and the sort of small town that I grew up in might be fertile ground for my own fiction.
You've created a very interesting father for your new novel, The Risk Pool. And I think something of his personality is revealed in the very first paragraph of the book, which I'd like to ask you to read.
Okay. My father, unlike so many of the men that he served with, knew just what he wanted to do when the war was over. He wanted to drink and whore and play the horses. "He'll get tired of it," my mother said confidently. She tried to keep up with him during those frantic months after the men came home, but she couldn't, because nobody had been shooting at her for the last 3 years, and when she woke up in the morning, it wasn't with a sense of surprise. For a while, it was fun, the late nights, the dry martinis, the photo finishes at the track. But then she was suddenly pregnant with me, and she decided it was time the war was over for real. Most everybody she knew was settling down, because you could only celebrate even victory so long. I don't think it occurred to her that my father wasn't celebrating victory and never had been. He was celebrating life, his.
Well, shortly after the book begins, the main character is conceived, and the father takes off, but later comes back and kind of kidnaps the son, and the son grows up partly with the father and partly with the mother. The father is likes to gamble and drink, hang out at bars, doesn't like to be tied down to a family, doesn't like responsibility. Was there someone like that in your life?
Well, my own father, to whose memory this book is dedicated, had elements of Sam Hall, my fictional character, in him. Like Sam Hall, my own father drifted sort of in and out of my life, but not to the extent that Sam Hall did. I think I was intrigued by the situation more than any literal reality. I was profoundly affected by the lack of routine as a kid, not knowing exactly when my father would arrive, or if he did arrive, what we would be doing, or where we would be going, or there was no structure to it. And often he would arrive, pull up in front of the house, toot his horn, and say, "You want to go see a ball game?" And I would go back in the house and ask my mother if it was okay for me to go see a ball game in New York City, knowing that we had a four-hour drive ahead of us and that we might be staying at the YMCA that night after the ball game, coming back the next day. And the question of whether or not we had anything else planned never came up.
Your novel is set largely in a man's world. The father, Sam Hall, takes the son and introduces him to the man's world, the world of bars and pool halls. And
yeah.
How were you treated there? Were you the kid?
Well, I mean, I was always treated well just about everywhere I went with my father. These were the sort of men who would use the wrong language and then look up and see you standing there and say, "Oops, sorry about the kid." Right, and you would become real to them only when they realized that they had said something that they weren't supposed to say in your company. Otherwise, there was a kind of wonderful freedom in such places where I was given money for the bowling machines and allowed to sit up at the bar and drink a 7-Up, wander around, investigate, listen to the dialogue. I didn't realize at the time I was listening to the dialogue that I was going to use some of it, but there was a nice sense of freedom in places like that.
Your character describes it like having two dozen negligent fathers.
Yeah, yeah, whose affections all add up to something or other. Yeah.
Right. When you go back to Gloversville and you maybe run into old high school friends who stayed in the area, does it make you think about what your life would have been like had you not left?
Well, actually, that doesn't happen very much because there aren't too many of the friends that I've kept in touch with. Most of them, too, have become the sort of wandering Americans that I describe in The Risk Pool, like Ned Hall. Most of them, too, went away to the university, perhaps not as far away as I went. But I do. I mean, it does make you wonder the sort of person that you would have been. And it seems to me that I would have been an entirely different person but for my having gotten away. I don't know whether I would have been a good person or a bad person, quite frankly. I know I would have been extraordinarily different.
I like the expression that you just used of wandering Americans. And you write that you know that a lot of people have Mohawks in their past. A lot of people are like you, that they've come from one place and left it, and no matter where they move to, it won't exactly be home.
I think that's certainly true of most Americans. It's probably regrettable, at least in some sense. Many families within until a generation or so ago can trace their roots back to community several generations. And that sense of a tie to both land and community does not transcend interstate highways. And I'm aware of that from time to time, as I have moved in pursuit of employment of some sort or other, of having moved away from my heart's home, and that's probably why I've spent, two rather long novels talking about what will probably always be my own heart's home.
Richard Russo's new novel, The Risk Pool, is published by Random House. Russo teaches fiction writing at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. This is Fresh Air.